We're going to have Reverend Rob Woods. Rob Woods has been in pastoral ministry again for 26 years. He has pastored in Illinois, Florida, and Massachusetts. He is currently serving with Barnabas Ministries, where he pastors, and oversees the growth and development of John 17:23 pastoral support groups nationally and internationally. He and his wife, Shelley, have been married for 25 years and have three wonderful children, of one who is here today named Robert. John 17:23 says this, in New International Version, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought together into complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome for Rob Woods.
Well, good morning, everyone. Kids, you got to go. But before you go, know that Jesus loves you. Have a good time with Miss Kelly. God bless you. Give me 1 second. I'm going to... I'm going to try to do some stuff today. See if it works. See if it works. It works! Life is good. Life is good when it works. Hello, Thomas. How's it going today? Hello, everyone else from all over the world that will be watching this on... It's Unshakable? Unshackable? Unshackled. Find that on your Roku. Hey, before we start, we're going to pray for your pastor who happens to be away doing some missions work. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Pastor Debbie. We thank you, God, for her heart to serve you, to follow you, and, Lord, to be gone this long for this whole month, Lord, sharing your love with the people who need it, sharing your love with those who are open to the gospel, those who have never even heard. We thank you, God, for how you're using her, and we pray that you undergird her with your strength, that God, when she's lonely, when she's missing home, that God, you would allow her to realize and know you're with her. And God, this is just for a short time away. Blessings upon her family, and upon this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, everyone, last week we got into the subject of grace. Can you say that with me? Grace. Yes. And so we're back on the subject of grace. As you can see, we're talking this morning about a grace-filled living. Grace-filled living. I was going to call it gracious living, but that seemed too generic because we're talking about God's grace. And last week, we defined God's grace. Okay. Did I go the wrong way? All right, let's go this way. All right, last week we defined God's grace in this way. Watch this. Watch this. I got a pointer. Are you impressed? God's grace is his influence upon our lives, revealing we are accepted, supported, and well favored by him because he sees beauty and worth in us and shows us kindness and compassion because we are precious to him. Now, I don't know about you, but just the idea that I am precious to God makes me feel pretty darn good. Knowing that God loves us even when we don't know him or return his love, because that's the kind of God we serve. He is God of love, and he is love, and through his grace, he lets us get to know him. We found out that grace is a gift that is free and unearned. Romans 3:24 says this, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, God saved us by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is a reward is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. And Romans 11:6 says, and since it is through God's kindness, that's another act of grace, then it is not by their good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. So that you get it, last week as we focused on grace, we discovered that it's a free gift. We discovered that we can't earn it, we don't deserve it. We discovered that God freely gives it out. And then we talked about Noah to find out how we receive this grace. Now Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, where it says in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did he do that? Well, it's right up here. No, it's not. It's not there. Well, you're going to hear it then. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, being divinely warned of things, Noah moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. So through faith, Noah received God's grace, and humanity was saved from extinction. Have you ever thought about that? Now, I believe the story of Noah. I don't believe it's a fable. I don't believe it's made up, imaginary. I believe that it happened. I believe that God came down, and the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that he saw that there was wickedness across the world. Everything he'd created, all of humanity was wicked, and he was sorrowful about it. He was sad, and he was going to destroy it all. And he looked upon the earth, and he found this one man. This one man, was he better than everybody else? No, because you see, grace isn't earned or deserved. He wasn't better, but he had a faith to believe that God could do what God said he could do. And he loved God. Did no one else love God? Well, the Bible says they were all wicked. And yet, the Bible doesn't even talk about Noah's wife and Noah's sons and their daughters. They were in the ark as well. That was showing God's grace. You see, for over 100 years, he built that ark. And for over 100 years, people walked by and said, huh? For over 100 years, people looked and said, what are you doing, man? For over 100 years, they said, why? And Noah said, because God told me so. And I believe that he's sending a catastrophe upon this planet, and we got to get ready for it. Would you come with us? I don't believe that Noah said, no, this ship isn't for you. This is just for me and my family. Because Noah received God's grace through faith. He knew that something was happening. And all that time, people came by and saw what was happening, but they did not receive that grace that God was offering them. And it's the same today. God offers grace through faith in a person. That person is Jesus Christ, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have or receive eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, I hope that that scripture never grows tired or old to you, because that scripture was spoken by Jesus himself. Sometimes I think, Tony, we forget that. We forget that Jesus was teaching that day, and Jesus was the one who said, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, they may not have understood at that moment who he was talking about, that he was talking about himself, but Jesus knew. And Jesus wanted them to know, the Father didn't send me to condemn you. The Father didn't send me to beat you up and speak all this legalistic jargon into your life like the Pharisees and Sadducees that said, no, the Father has sent me to save you. That's grace. That's God's grace. For God so loved the world. And by dissecting verses 1 through 17 of John chapter 1, we found out that Jesus is the conduit for grace. And the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So who is full of grace and truth? Jesus. Always know this, in church, if someone asks a question and it deals with a person, the answer usually is Jesus. So who loves you more than anybody else? Who died for your sins? Who will always love you no matter what you do? And who is full of grace and truth? All right, well, three of you know the answer. The other ones may catch up a little later. For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand, I said this last week, and this is worth repeating. In the original language, it was written, and it was spoken Greek. Okay, it was in Aramaic, but they wrote it in Greek. Grace upon grace means grace added to grace. Okay? It's like when you go into Friendlies and you say, yeah, my wife, she loves Friendlies. She wants this Jim Dandy, 5 ice cream scoops, and I love to go with her, and she loves to eat it, and she's passionate about it, and she says, and I would like chocolate Jimmies. Okay, and I want more chocolate Jimmies. Okay, I want Jimmies upon Jimmies. And she walks out of there, and there's just a mound of Jimmies over there. I go to Dairy Queen. I said, listen, I need Jimmies. Okay, it's on there. No, I need Jimmies upon Jimmies. And so there's grace upon grace, meaning there's kindness upon kindness. There's love upon love. There's compassion upon compassion. There's care upon care. That's what God does for us through Jesus Christ. Through Him, we receive grace upon grace. The law came through Moses, but grace comes through Jesus. So Jesus is the conduit of God's grace. God's grace is His influence upon our lives. I'm defining it again for you. Revealing we are accepted. How many of you like to be accepted? Nobody likes it. When I was out somewhere the other day and I was with someone and they asked me a question. And I started answering their question. What's your name, dear? Kareen. I'm answering their question, Kareen. And they just kind of like, I was talking and they just walked away. They totally ignored me. They asked me a question, I'm giving it to them, and they just walked away. I was in the middle of my answer. I was rejected. I felt dejected. There was no acceptance going on there. Now, I don't know what was in their crawl, as they say down south. I don't know what was wrong with them. But I do know the feeling hurt. But you see, with God, even when you don't know Him, Libby, God still loves you. With God, even though we may not be walking with Him tight and close and listening to Him, He's still speaking to us because He cares so much for us. That's His grace. That's acceptance. Now, does He accept our sin? The answer is no. He can't accept sin. But He accepts you because you were made in His image. He loves you, and He wants you to know that. And so, we're accepted, and we're well-favored, and we're supported by Him, and He sees beauty and worth in us. Now, you see, I don't know about you, but I was raised in a family that affirmed us. And my wife, and I would say this if she wasn't here, my wife, she had some getting used to with that. Because anytime I go by a mirror in the house, I look at myself and say, hi. You're looking good today. And I move on. Because I was affirmed as a young person that I was created by God in His image. And I'm not junk. I'm not trash. My nose, it's different than your nose. And God made this nose, so I appreciate it. My hairline, I have some people who say, you could put a for sale sign up there on that forehead. It's actually a 5 head, not a forehead. Yeah, that's my brother saying that to me. But you know what? I look and say, God made this forehead, so I appreciate it. And I like what I see. Why? Because God sees beauty in me. God sees beauty in you. God sees worth in you. And you can't come to accept and receive His grace through faith if you don't understand that that's how He sees you. If you can't accept that He accepts you, if you can't receive His support, if you don't believe that you're beautiful, no matter what the world says, God says you're a beauty. God says you have value. God says He's going to show us kindness. He's going to show us compassion because we're precious to Him. Now, this is grace, and this grace comes through the person of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus is the conduit of God's grace, and since Christ now lives in us through the Holy Spirit, do you know that? He lives in us through the Holy Spirit. I believe that God wants us to be dispensers of His grace. You've received His grace through faith in a relationship with Jesus, but He doesn't want you just to hang on to that grace you've been given. He wants you to dispense that grace. He wants you to tell people, "You're beautiful. You are, son." Yes, look at that. See how he's affirmed. He wants you to tell others that, "Hey, guess what? God has your back. No matter what you're going through, Neil, God has your back. Not because I say it, but because His Word says it. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:8, that God is on your side. That God, this is what it says, God goes with you and He has your back. That's what it says. So we're supposed to be grace dispensers. Think about this. When you go into a restroom, if we were to go downstairs in one of the restrooms there, and after you wanted to wash your hands and you went to the sink, you would find the soap dispenser and pull it and fill your hand with that soap and then wash your hands. I believe that's how God wants us to be. People can come up to us and people can reach out to us, and as they reach out to us, we give them. Tom's goofing with me. We dispense to them grace. When those people come to us and they're having a hard time, we can look at them and we can pay attention to what they're saying, and we can be that active listener, and we can say, "Go ahead, I'm with you. I'm listening." That's the support people need. That's grace. When people are going through a tough time with their children or with their parents, they're aging, whatever the situation may be, they not only need our support, they not only need our acceptance, but they need our kindness. And it's a kindness that God gives us to dispense to them. We're going to look at some scriptures on how we can look as grace dispensers. These scriptures right now are focusing on being an imitator or follower of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16, this is what Jesus said: "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." It's right up there now. John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Luke 6:40 says this: "Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's saying, when you are trained in the ways of the Lord, you are going to be like me. If Jesus is the light of the world that we read about last week, and he is, out of John chapter 1, when he says, "Therefore, go and let your light shine, so that all may see it," that light in us is his light shining through us. So to be a grace dispenser, we have to become like Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20 says this: "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This whole verse deals with grace. Consider this. Look at this. Ooh, there's the red dot. Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ." That means you're dead. The old person is dead. You are not who you were, even though in life some people will say, "Well, I remember when. I remember when you used to do X, Y, and Z." Every time I visit with family and I go in, I run into people who knew me when I was in high school, who knew me when I was a young person, and they want to remember me as I was. But that's no longer who I am. I am a new creation in Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What this means is, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in God, is that the flesh no longer controls us. Because we live by faith, not by feelings. Now, how many of you feel like getting out of bed every morning? How many of you feel like getting up and going to work every day? Or going to school every day? My son can't wait for when it happens and the snow comes and he gets to sleep in. There are those moments that we just don't feel like it. How many of you felt like getting up this morning and coming to church? Okay, one of you. Two of you, three of you, four of you. You know what? I got up and I was like, holy mackerel, it's cold outside. And I know up in Ashby, it's even stinking colder because last week it was colder than it was where I was at. It's 12 degrees here in Worcester. I can't begin to believe how cold it is in Ashby. I told Tom this morning I had to put on a t-shirt under this shirt. I had to wear a coat. I knew you don't even wear a winter coat because I have an internal temperature that's always hot. My feet are cold. I had to put on woolly socks. All because I'm coming to preach in Ashby. I didn't feel like it. I got to be honest with you. But faith said, Rob, get up, get out of bed, get yourself ready, get yourself prayed up, get yourself prepared, because I have something to do through you. I have something for you and for the people in Ashby. That's our God. We don't live by faith, but we live by the flesh. We live by faith in the Son of God. So God wants us to be like Him. Do you all agree? I've given you some scriptures. To express His love to the world around us by being dispensers of His grace. And you and I are not what we once were. I've already went on that. We're changed by faith, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. And this spiritual transformation should impact people around us. So this is what the scripture says. We're going to just jump ahead. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Can you say that with me? New creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. And with this new life comes a charge from God. You see, once you belong to Jesus, once by grace through faith you accept Him and you become like Him, you're no longer your own. That means God says, I have a purpose for you, and it's not the purpose you may have thought it was. My purpose, part of the aspect of grace, is found in the rest of this chapter in 2 Corinthians. It says, all this is from God, meaning this new life, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. Now consider that for a moment. As a dispenser of grace or a grace dispenser, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador for God. So what does that mean? An ambassador means you're a representative. That means you stand in the gap and you let people know what the person you're representing is all about. An ambassador to another nation comes in and says, I represent the United States of America, and I will tell you everything about the United States of America, because I know everything about the United States of America, because I come from the United States of America. As a Christian, do you have enough knowledge of God to say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and as a follower of Jesus Christ, I can tell you everything about Jesus Christ, because He lives in me, He goes before me, He prepares the way, and He wants you to know Him. Unfortunately, so many of us get caught up and distracted that we don't stop and take the time to be that ambassador, that representative that Jesus wants us to be. But when we walk as a dispenser of grace, we open our heart and receive from God the ability to be this representative. Now, the Bible is full of examples of how we are to live grace-filled lives. So I'm going to share scriptures with you, and I feel like I'm shooting you with a fire hose. But this message, really, this is like a six-part series I've condensed for you. And today we're just going to look at how it looks to be a grace dispenser. So we want to look at scriptures that speak to us about how we look when we're grace dispensers. So look at Romans 12, 9 through 18, and this is what it says. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. That's a grace dispenser. Don't be a hypocrite. I say I love you, then I'm going to love you. And love means putting you before me. Love means I'm going to think of your needs over my needs. That's what love does. Hate what is wrong, hold tight to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. My friends, that is grace living. That is grace filled living. And that is what it means to be a grace dispenser. Think about those things that Paul is instructing us to do. Love and not hate. Try to live at peace with everyone. That means being civil when someone has an opinion other than your own and not bashing them and beating them up because you disagree. Here's our next scripture. Philippians 2, 3 and 5. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as Christ. Now, to live this grace-filled life, consider this. If just a portion of the Church of Jesus Christ did this, what would the world around us look like? How often do we want to put ourselves first? I know I do. I got to be honest. I struggle with being a grace dispenser because, honestly, people get on my nerves. And I know I get on people's nerves because when I look at myself, then I'm looking through the eyes of Rob, and when that person is being too slow at the checkout line, I'm wondering, what's their problem? What's their beef? When I walk out and I'm getting in my car and I'm wondering, how come nobody drives as well as I drive? When I'm going through life and I'm putting my work together, and I work with pastors, and sometimes it's some in my ministry call it like this. They say, getting pastors together is like herding cats. I sometimes wonder, what's wrong with these men and women? How come they just can't think the way I think? And then God reminds me, son, when you think the way you think, you're not thinking the way I think, and you get yourself into trouble. Being a grace dispenser means I'm not here to impress anybody. I don't need to be selfish. I need to find other people more significant than myself. And if I'm doing that, and Neil's doing that, and we're doing that in a relationship with one another, then the relationship's sweet. If we as the body of Christ at Sanctuary in Ashby, if you as the body of Christ are doing that with one another, then the relationship is sweet. Because as you're reaching out in love to this one, she's reaching out in love over to this one, and you're showing kindness to this little one, and this little one, he's being compassionate over here to this person, and this person over here. You see, it's just this wonderful, wonderful effect of networking as grace dispensers, and everyone is being blessed. It's only when we focus inward and we say, well, I don't want to do this. I don't like this. This makes me uncomfortable. So I'm just going to stand here and I'm not going to talk to anybody and I'm going to just focus on self. How many of you like to walk and talk to somebody who's like standing like this in the corner? No. Grace dispensers are open. Grace dispensers have their hands out wide. Grace dispensers look in your eyes. Grace dispensers, when you're talking, they focus on you. Grace dispensers listen to you. Grace dispensers, when they come back next week in church, they look and say, hey, you talked about this last week. How did that go? Give me an update. Grace dispensers. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. This is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about loving your enemies. Because of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, it says, if somebody offends you and beats you up, then it's okay. You can go right back. If they take an eye for an eye, a foot for a foot, a hand for an hand, you get back what they took. But Jesus said, under the new covenant, that's not how it works. He said, when someone offends you, when someone hurts you, when you have an enemy, you're supposed to show grace to them and pray for God to bless them. Now, that just sounds absurd, doesn't it? Somebody in your life beats you up verbally. Somebody in your life puts you down, and you're supposed to pray that God will bless them? That's what Jesus says, because as a grace dispenser, if you do that as a representative of Christ, the purpose is to reach out to that person and see that person come into relationship with Jesus. Because if they come into relationship with Jesus, they're not going to be that ugly person on the inside anymore, because they become a new person. I know this message, for some, you're just sitting there like, huh? This sounds like a lot of work on my part. And the reality is, the one thing you have to do, the one thing I have to do to be this dispenser of grace, is every day die to self and live for Christ. It's total commitment. It's complete surrender. If we can do that, then working in a relationship with someone who's not very lovable becomes less difficult. Having a spouse who doesn't like it that you're a Christian and just gives you beef every time you walk out of the house to go to do something with the church, when you die to self and live for Christ, God gives you the grace to show grace to them, no matter who it is. Colossians 3:1-17, again, write this down, look this up, read this scripture. Some of the things I just want to point out is in these you too once walked, meaning the sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, when you were living in them. But now you must put them away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Why? Because as a great dispenser, that's not grace. You get rid of that stuff, and then when you work with people and talk with people, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. Remember, you've been made new through grace by faith with its practices, and put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That is Jesus. Here there is no Greek or no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, meaning it doesn't matter where you come from, who you are, God accepts you all, in all. Christ is in all, and we are in Him. Put together compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and loving one another. To be grace-filled, it's work. It's not work that you do on your own, though, because Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. And if we turn to Christ and say, help me, Holy Spirit, work in me. He said, I'm sending you a comforter, a counselor, an encourager, an advocate, the paraclete, that will care for you and help you in these ways. Now, when you say, this is impossible, I can't do it, you're teaching and preaching this message, and I'll never be able to do this, all I can say to you is the Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. Believe in what? Believe that God can make a change in us. It's up to us to say yes to Jesus every day. To be that dispenser of grace, it's up to you and I, because Jesus desires, the Father desires, for all of humanity to know Jesus as His Son. And it starts by us being that ambassador, that representative for Christ. When it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. If at the end of your life you've amassed all these accolades, affirmation about what you've done, but there's not a single person in your life you can say, I discipled them in the ways of the Lord. They know Christ because I represented Christ to them. We're in a most pitiful state. I've told my family on my tombstone, all I wanted to read is, he loved Jesus. I want people to know, if my life doesn't show that I love Jesus, then something's wrong. This is me personally talking. There's something wrong with my life. Hopefully you will get to that point in your life where you say, if Christ is first in everything, if I want to be this grace dispenser, he'll give me the strength and the ability to be who on my own I can't be. Because none of us can do this without him. He doesn't ask us to do it without him. That's what it's about. The grace-filled living comes when we give it all over to Jesus. Let's just close our eyes for a moment, if you would. Father, as we shut down the distractions around us, as we close our eyes so we can really focus on you and what your Spirit has been speaking to our hearts today, as Tony said, we hear the same message, but its application is different for each of us because we're all in different places. Holy Spirit, whatever application you have today for those who are in this service, for those who may be watching this on some computer screen somewhere, Holy Spirit, may we yield to you and allow you to guide and direct our steps from this moment on. Holy Spirit, if there are areas in our life that you are beginning to show us that you would say, release this to me so that I can use you in this area to be a dispenser of grace. If there are attitudes and hang-ups that we have that we've held on to even after the new life we've received from you, show them to us, reveal them to us, and may we today release them to you and be free. We sang this song earlier, Father God, about how there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where Jesus is, there is freedom. There is freedom here today from all the obstacles, all the distractions that would stop us from being dispensers of your grace and living a grace-filled life. Father, today may we commit ourselves to you, and where there are our weaknesses, may in our weakness we find strength in you. I pray your blessing upon those here this morning and those a part of this congregation. I pray, God, that you would empower them through your Spirit to be bold witnesses for you, to be representatives for you, wherever they live, whether it be Ashby or one of the communities around here. May they take the word of life. May they take their cross up and follow you. And Father, may they see the fruit. May they see the fruit of saying yes to you in their lives and within this church. Lord, I pray that you would bless this church and grow this church and build this church up. And that, Father God, these chairs would be filled with people hungry, hungry for knowing you and seeking after you and growing in you. Lord, your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Powerful, powerful. I'm going to look at this again. Soon as it's loaded up on Roku, R-O-K-U, whatever that is, Unshackled TV, I would suggest we all review these last 2 weeks. And if you can, somehow stealth-wise, let your family or friend members know to look at this grace teaching. And while he was teaching, I remember again our Lord talking to us, and remember this: freely you have received, and freely give. And one of the things Rob pointed out in 2 Corinthians 5:19, when he was talking about that God was reconciling the world unto Christ, we need to remember what follows: not counting people's sins against them. A lot of times when we go out, we like to bash people because they're not doing something right, as he was talking about. That's not our job. Our job, as he was saying, is grace dispensers, show Christ, be imitators of the Lord. And if you remember, Christ didn't go around beating up everybody he was trying to meet. There was a few times he might have talked about his disciples, tell him, this is what the Pharisee sees. Don't see that, but don't do that. But in the same token, we need to remember that it is God who does the transformation in our lives as we draw closer to him. Rob, I thank you again. Marvelous. Give it up. Give it up. Come on now. You could do better than that, sanctuary. Come on, come on. There you go. Come on. High five. All right, all right. And we are blessed. I think our pastor has called March Madness, or the month of Men Madness, has been great for all of us. I think you've spoken into all of our lives, and we really appreciate that greatly, greatly, beyond measure, I'm assuming. I can look at the faces around here, and I can tell that people are pulling this in. And I'm sure Pastor will have you come back again when she goes back to Laos or Cambodia or whatever next time. And thank you for this. I'll just dismiss you now. It's been a blessing again. I thank you. Father God, we are still in awe of the mighty works that you've done in this place, Lord God. And the exact people who needed to hear this were here today, Lord God. And Father, we know that through this message and our participation and being grace dispensers, Father, this place will grow because others will see the kindness and know that we are from you. They'll know that you are our Lord and our God. Father, we are thankful for what you've done for us and through us. And Father, we ask that you bless us as we go about our day and as we fellowship in the hall outside, Father, and as we look forward to next week and beyond. We thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. And we serve you, a mighty God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.